Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Name of Jesus Christ. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to it. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is.
Let's lift up our voice and worship the Lord.
My King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to it. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Death could not hold. Heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name, Abba.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go straight into the Word of God. And as our custom is, we want to read our anchor scriptures. Today we'll be looking at a topic that I know this phrase is not something new to all of us. We've all heard of this phrase over and over. So we do not war against the flesh, and we want to look at it as part of our first lesson in the school of warfare. Now our first reading will be taken from the book of Luke chapter 9 verse 51 to 56. The gospel according to Luke. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And you know that there's already a contention between the Samaritans and Israelites. So when they realized that he was using their village as a route to Jerusalem, they denied the masses, because they know he's hot from that place. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire, somebody shout fire, to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias what did. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. The last verse. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went to another village. Hallelujah. Second reading, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 8. We have read it. We're going to check it again as part of our today's message. 1 Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Give me that verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Our last reading we're going to read together, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, we are reading together again. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. By the grace of God, we started a new sub-series last week, which is the School of Warfare. And we looked at the School of Warfare as a very important aspect of the pursuit of our knowledge, and we are at war. Now today, the second message, which actually opens up to the classroom lesson, is titled, We Do Not War Against the Flesh. We do not war against. Tell your brother and sister sitting beside that we do not war against the flesh. So die by fire is not by dying flesh. Today we have to establish some realities in the kingdom, in the kingdom pursuit of warfare. Now, in our introduction to the School of Warfare, it was established as our last week message that it trains my hand for battle and my fingers for battle. It was established that a graduate from this school as a student of war is a person who has been trained to be able to be effective in war. That is the hand trained. And then being efficient in what? In battle. Hallelujah. So in the book of Psalms chapter 144 verse 1, we saw that David, as he is the person who in scriptures and according to the histories and teachings of the Jewish culture, the best ever in war, the best ever to stand and prove that he's a master of warfare. And as last week I said to you, David is the only man according to the histories and books in the writings of the people of the Jewish who fought a minimum of 20 wars are different from battles. Because wars can last for generations. But they said this man was a master of warfare, that he was able to fight 20 wars with many battles. So the entire 40 years of David's life in active service as a king was war. And he won all the war. He didn't lose. So wars that the people of Israel started from the days of their grandfather Joshua, when they crossed over into the land of what, Canaan, and they fought. David was as the only person who came to give total peace to the people of Israel by winning all the war. And the end of the war was that he took Jerusalem, a city no one dared to conquer. Now, when David was given an account of his masterpiece in winning war, he opened us to some intelligence in the book of Psalms chapter 144 verse 1. And what he said was that the Lord trains my hand for what? Battle. And trains my hand for what? War. And my fingers for what? For battle. So that was the first lesson we learned. We also came to the knowledge of why every believer is automatically enrolled in the School of Warfare. We did a practical example by looking at a research that was available to us about countries where the civilians, the culture of the civilians is an expression of military intelligence. So we saw that in some country, almost every civilian has an experience and training in what? In warfare, in military intelligence. And we found out that the country who is best at it, the whole world, was what? Is modern Israel. And we established that the reason why modern Israel make sure that every civilian, remember that according to the research, men in Israel have at least how many months? 3 years, right? That is 36 months of active military participation. And the young women have 2 years.
So in Israel, almost everybody knows how to handle combat. And why is it that the culture of the modern Israel now make sure that every civilian, at least almost all of them, have an experience in how to handle military staffs? We found out that it is because of the hostile environment what they find themselves. And in our research, we found out that Israel is surrounded by, is one of the countries who is surrounded by many countries who are hostile towards them. And the closest ally of modern Israel is 200 kilometers away by flight. many kilometers away. Do you get it? So if you find yourself in such an environment where every single person seeks to kill you, the agenda of them is to destroy you. And the worst part is that their population is so, should I use the word, is so less in terms of the people that surround them, that if you don't train everybody on how to handle the matter of warfare and they come after you, you'll be consumed. It's believed that the current population of the modern Israel runs between 3 million and a little above. And just one of their fierce enemy called Iran is counting hundreds of millions. Do you get a picture here? So when they look at the hostile environment they found themselves, it was important for them to be able to what? Train. Are you following me? Train everybody in the understanding of what? Warfare. And I use this research to bring to light why the believer is what? Is expected, or the Bible exposed the believer to what? The training of warfare. We find out that the first thing we established was when the Bible said that since the death of what? John the Baptist, the heavens what? Suffers what? Violence, and the violent take it by force. So we found out that the first language that this world, and we also established in the book of John, that we are left into a world that out hates us. Jesus himself said it. He said, Father, I have left them in the world, and because I've given them my word, they hate them. So Jesus already told us that, told the Father that we are in a world of what? Hatred. But the sad aspect is that he said, Father, I didn't say this so that you take them out of the world. He said, I said this not because I want you to take them out of the world. So Jesus already acknowledged that we are in a very hot, hatred environment, hostile environment. And in the book of Matthew, he said that since the death of John the Baptist, the heavens, which is the kingdom of God established in the heart of men on this earth, suffers violence. And that was when the kingdom of God was introduced on this earth in the heart of men. And said, it is the violence who does what? Take it by force. So it means that the believer by nature is violent. And if he doesn't apply violence, there is nothing that will come to you. So violence is one of the, is a must. We have to release chaos into the kingdom of darkness in order for us to be able to what? Take things out that belongs to us. Are you on the same page? Are you following me? So because of the hostile environment we find ourselves, that the world, the flesh, the kingdom of darkness, all surrounding us. We saw that the Bible said, I'll build the church which you belong to, right? And the gate of hell. So our neighbor is what? Hell. And the only thing that separates us is what? Is gate. With this reality, should we leave the believer to be a civilian by life? No. So the Bible exposed the believer to what? Warfare, and training the believer in what? In warfare. Standing on these two reasons, the believer's hand must be trained in war. That is effective in what? Authority. And must be what? The fingers must be what? Trained in what? Battle. Efficiency in what? In warfare. Which is what? The things that we learn in the school of warfare. Do you understand? So that was what we established last week, that why we must teach you, why every believer must go to the school of warfare, is because we belong to a very hostile environment. That you will not be spared if they get hold of you. So you must learn at least the basic military knowledge in surviving spiritually. Amen. Now, today's message. If we live in a hateful, violence-induced environment, which has been made it impossible for the kingdom we belong to make progress on this earth, how do we live our life? The simple question we have to answer here is that, who and what does the believer unleash his violence upon? Because in the book of Matthew, he said that the violent what? Take it by what? By force. And who was he talking about? He was talking about us. So as how much violent you are, it talks about how, and force is violence. Do you know force is violence? Yes. Are you with me? So the question is, the violent that take it by force, where do we, or what do we express our heart violence upon? And this is where the first lesson in the school starts. The first lesson to master, to be effective and efficient in warfare, is knowing the enemy behind the act at which the things are happening. And knowing the enemy is also called profiling. Let's read the book of Matthew chapter 13 verse 28. The Bible said, oh, we live in a very violent world, hateful, induced world. And the violent take it by force. The question is, where do you release your violence? Upon who do you release your violence? And to be able to know how and where to release it, the first lesson you have to learn is to know what the enemy behind the odds, the act. Now let's read this. And he said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? This was talking about when a man slept. And when they slept, the enemy came in and what? And showed the text. Now when they wake up, the servant didn't know what led to what? That manifestation. But we saw that the master here was a good profile. Read that, oh, for this thing to happen, there's what? An enemy what? Behind it. You see, if you don't understand this very basic principle I'm going to talk about today, there are many things that will be happening in your life and you cannot find who is behind it. After all, the earth is meant to grow both weeds and tares naturally. Is that not so? Did you read the account of Genesis chapter 3? When God was pronouncing judgment, when he got to Adam and the earth, he said, curse is what? The earth, because of what? You. For it's a what? Grow what? Tares and tongues. For is that not what he said? Now, why should the master in this very Bible not associate the act of the test that was growing in the wheat they sow to that curse? Are you following the picture right now? It means that the master had a training to understand that not everything that happens has a natural cause. He was able to read that this test that has been sown, how meticulous it has grown, how it looks in confusing the wheat. This is not a natural cause. An enemy has what? Than this. So in spiritual warfare, the first lesson that you have to learn to be able to unleash the authority of God working in you to deal or prevail in your warfare is that you must learn how we do what we call it, profiling. Oh, Mr. Ghanem, is that how you call it? Profiling, right? Yes, I'm using military term. So the profile, who is behind the heart? The act. Are we on the same page? Good. Now, why is this profiling very necessary? This lesson is to help you avoid the greatest mistake in warfare, which has to do with attacking the visible vessel while ignoring the invisible influence behind it. Now, as I said last week, most of the things that we do in our daily life, corporate activities. You see, God institutes human governance as a dispensation. God institutes human governance as what? A dispensation. And in that human governance, what it means is that God had an idea of how he wants human to what? Rule and live on earth, to be governed. In the book of Romans chapter 13, he said that all authority are established by God. Okay? So follow me. So there are many things that we do naturally in terms of human governance and behavior that is a reflection of God's idea. And you can track them practically in what? In our daily life. Now let me show you something. When a country is under attack, let's say US was bombed. It's an example, okay? Something happened tragic. The defense ministry does not just get up gather soldiers and go to fight. Do you know that? What did they do? They do what we call profiling. Even they can catch the person who did what? The bombing. Are you following me? They can arrest the person who did the act. But they don't end over there. They will sit down and find the invisible hand behind the visible act. The reason why the believer must be trained in profiling is because you will end up fighting the visible what? Figure, and ignore the influence, which is the most important thing. Now let me give you a biblical stand here. Matthew chapter 16 verse 23. We are going to look at this demonstration. This scenario was demonstrated by Jesus. Watch something here. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things be of God, but those that be of what? Of men. I hope you all know this story. We all know this story, right? Peter, together with the other disciples, were seated with Jesus. And then Jesus started telling them about what will happen to him in some few moments to come. In some few months to come. He said, oh, I will be crucified. The Bible said, Peter drew Jesus out of the crowd and rebuked Jesus. And said, Jesus, don't say that. You can't die. But what did Jesus do? Look at how he said. He said, what did he do? He said, get thee behind me, what? Satan. Did Jesus attack Peter? No. Jesus was able to profile from that instant that the words that was coming from the mouth of Peter, that visible vessel, is not a problem. There's an influence. And therefore, he went after the influence and what? And dealt with it. So, one of the intelligence that a believer must learn as part of warfare is your ability to profile the enemy behind the odds, the sin. Else, you make the greatest mistake of attacking the vessel rather leaving the odds, the influence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following me? Let me give you another example. When the Philistines in the days of Saul were so empowered to fight against the people of Israel, do you know their motivation? It was Goliath. So the Philistines were coming after the people of Israel because there's an invisible force behind them, supporting them, pushing them. The moment David took out Goliath, the Bible said they started running. So in spiritual warfare, one of the first skill set that God gives you is what we call identifying or locating the real enemy behind the act. Amen. Now, this demonstration that Jesus did in the book of Matthew is what Apostle Paul, in his teaching concerning profiling of the enemy, made it clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3, our last reading. Can we read that scripture? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. For though, what do? We walk in the flesh, we do not war after the heart, the flesh. You see, if we come under attacks, if we suffer certain spiritual attacks or things, the last thing you should do by the teachings in the school of warfare is to think that you are warring against what? A flesh. I'm going to prove it to you. It's a mistake that will backfire on you. Hallelujah. So, in this flesh context, he's talking about human beings. So, although we walk in the earth, in the flesh, we walk among men, we live among men, as a believer, never consider that the things that the warfare you are fighting, the battlefront you are fighting physical human beings. That is a wrong profiling. Another context to this scripture is that even though The word flesh that was used in this context of scripture is for human beings. It also implies, or it can also deeply be interpreted as any physical happening that our five senses can interpret. So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against those five things that our five, those things that our five senses cannot interpret. I'm going to give you examples. Are you following me? You see, we are living in times where people are looking at outward happening as a point of judging what actually is what going on. We walk in the flesh. We do not war against the flesh. Can also be interpreted, as I'm saying, as the physical happenings that our five senses can be what? Able to what? Interpret. Let's look at the example. Therefore, some of the activities such as sickness, rejection, financial struggle, opposition cannot merely be interpreted as the object of what? War we are fighting. They can also represent what? The things that we call what? Flesh, in the context of what? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Now let's look at a biblical example. We all admit that there's something called sickness, right? But do you know that sickness can be backed by what we call affliction? Let's look at Luke chapter 13 verse 11 to 16. You see, last 2 weeks when we had service with Daddy on the issues of warfare, Wednesday, last 2 weeks, Daddy said something. I think somebody asked him a question about sickness. That is every sickness the doings of the devil, or is every sickness spiritual? Daddy said, that one, in his best of knowledge, he wants to tell us, you shouldn't underestimate headache, that it cannot be the act of what? Spiritual attack. The answer is just examine to be sure who is behind it. So don't just take it on the face value that, oh, some headache can be affliction, demonic affliction. Let's read. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 80 years and was bowed together and is no wise lift up. Do you people know what we call achacha? Is that not what we call? That which is able to make people like this and they cannot straighten themselves up. You got a hand back, right? You know it. This woman was suffering from that thing. A typical picture I can paint for you is that. Now, if you see such a thing, won't you say it's a normal thing? It's a sickness, right? Physically, right? Let's read and see what happened. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from what? Thy in what? Infirmity. Thou art what? Loosed. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Last verse. And art not this being a daughter of Abraham, whom what? Together, what do you say? Whom what? Satan has what? Do you see the invisible force here? Church, are you with me? Whom what? Satan has what? Bound. Lo, this what? 18 years. Be loosed from his bond on the Sabbath day. As such a sickness can be a natural cause, Jesus was able to profile and saw that this one is part of the things that we all, we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. So physically, this woman was suffering from that handbag. Spiritually, it was a bondage of Satan placed on her, expressing itself what? Physically. Sometimes the things that people are going through that we see physically are evidence, manifestation of demonic or bondages. So somebody can be barren, That barrenness has nothing to do. Haven't you heard that people go to the hospital and conduct all kinds of research and test, and still there's no any problem, and yet still they are sick? Be there and be saying that, oh, this one it is. And what breaks my heart is that they'll give it a very beautiful scientific name. Very beautiful scientific name. And you hide behind those scientific names and then be hitting you so strong. Hallelujah. Financial hardship. Let me tell you this. Financial hardship can be caused by laziness or some, but let me tell you, there can be spiritual forces behind it. You see, the reason why, one of the reasons why we encourage people to pay tithe, give offering, and everything is because mammon can be the reason why you struggle financially. It has nothing to do with poverty. There's a difference between poverty and financial struggles. Let's read the scripture. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Financial hardship can be visible. People really work hard in this country, two of us, but they get less. You can blame government. You can blame everything. You can put it on the president. They are not creating jobs. But if you sit down to look at it well, you know that, oh, we are not fighting physical government. It has nothing to do with Nanado. It has nothing to do with Mahama. There is a force behind. Let's look at it. And, oh, who is doing the projection for me? Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Daniel chapter 10. So, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before the Lord, the words were heard, and I am come forth thy words. Can you give me the New King James Version? I am not a friend of thy and thou and thee. I'm not a friend of that. I'm not a friend. I don't want to bite my tongue. I beg you. Help me out. New King James, good. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and have come because of your words. Watch. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia did what? Withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left alone there with the kings of what? Of Persia. See, you are praying for financial breakthrough. God has answered. God has answered. But you see what is going on over here? So there can be visible hardship. People going through things. And you can blame all kinds. And these are systems that fight rulers, influence governments, people in authority. So sometimes the decisions that our government authorities are taking, don't stop attacking them. There is a force. We have to do a proper profiling. Why would somebody get up? Recently, I heard one of the Ministry of Sports African Games 2020, what is it? 2020 what? 5 or 2024. That they used probably, what is it, 3 million Ghana cedis or $3 million for cleaning the place? Is it $3.2 million? $16 million to feed people. You don't know. You see, you see, just, hey, how can human beings sit down and stamp this? I'm telling you, you see, there's a way that they can save money from the system that the individuals will suffer. So in as much as we are calling government and public servants to order that they should do the right thing, we have to do the proper profiling. Which demon, which power is behind the financial hardship we are going through? Else, though we walk in the flesh, it's a wrong. If you attack, you see, you can vote government out, government in. Our fathers, you just check. Our parents, how many times have they voted? How has it transformed their lives? You are looking at me now. I think we have conducted no less than 6 elections. at least, right? Not less than six, or less count. President Jerry John Rawlings, two, right? President Kufuor, two. Make it at four, right? The late Atamels, one, five. President John Mahama, now two, right? Make it seven. Nanado, two. How many now? Nine. And I tell you, there are people who are alive who have voted through all this election because they thought that the government, physical government, is the cause of their problem. And they are still suffering. In fact, how much of the transformation have we seen? Because we are told that Singapore came to learn from us and they are doing better than us. Can we do a proper profiling of who is actually behind our struggles in this country? Do you get my picture now? So it will be very wrong for us to sit here as Christians and say, it is the government that is making us graduate. There are no jobs. Yes, it is. That is the human aspect. But we work in the flesh. We know we are not going against the flesh. There is something behind the scene. Let's look at another example here. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, Paul was telling the church of Thessalonica that the rejection, opposition, persecution, and injustice that they are experiencing through people and situations were not just human beings do that. They said they are unseen spirits involved. Let's read it. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time again, but what? Satan did what? Hindered us. In his explanation of why they were going through all those things, to the extent that because he, Paul, will come to give them comfort, come to what? Minister comfort and relief to them. He said, the devil hindered me from coming. So when Jesus rebuked Peter, then the Satan behind the voice of Peter, and Paul was trying to teach us how that profiling was done. He said that the way to understand spiritual profiling is that though you walk in the flesh, you do not war against the flesh. See, if you have dreamt and you saw that your auntie was the one who took your destiny, you are not fighting the auntie. Today, I want to help you. Because it's a strategy that many believers have missed. And then they go and attack the visible vessel. They leave the influence behind it. You see, why you shoot that person and kill that person? Holy Ghost fire, you shoot the person, I'll come there. At the end of the day, their spirit is still there in the family. The altar is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Hallelujah. It's my prayer that we understand spiritual profiling. That whatever circumstances we are going through, we can be able to track down the enemy behind it. He said, and the master said, an enemy has done this. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, why is this knowledge foundational? Why is the knowledge of spiritual profiling a foundational thing in the first thing you have to learn in the school of warfare? I'm going to show you. So when you come to the school of warfare, the first thing that God will teach you, what Christian journey will teach you, is to understand that you walk in the flesh, you do not war against the flesh. It's the foundational knowledge. And you must be able to learn and understand and be trained with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following me? Are you on the same page? Let's go to that. Why is this foundational? You know, in education, we have what we call the foundational knowledge. Now, let me give you an example. How many of you have done quadratic equation before? You know quadratic equation, right? As long as you have gone through GHS and SHS, you have done it before. Yes, x raised to the power square. You have started a quadratic equation. Do you know that is called algebra, right? It's part of algebra. Before they'll give you factorization type 4. Where you know factorization type 4? Yes. I was once a math teacher, so I still have that knowledge as well. Do you know, we'll first of all teach you what we call grouping of like terms. Do you learn it? Are you following me? So for anybody to understand quadratic functions, if the person does not know the foundational knowledge of what? Algebra, the person will struggle. If the person cannot identify like terms and unlike terms, does not know how to group them, quadratic equation will be your biggest headache. So we call that what? Foundational knowledge. That is why even in class 1, they'll put A plus 1 is equal to what? To find what? A. Some people said they have been looking for X since the day they started class. Until now, we don't know where X is. Find X. Have you found X? You are still looking for X. Hallelujah. But you see, that thing was to help you to what? Understand the simple what? A mathematical function called quadratic what function. Where you can be able to simplify most what difficult equations. So find X. So we call it the foundational knowledge. If you don't understand it, you cannot be good in mathematics. Now, this thing we are talking about, profiling, though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk against it. It's the basic functional understanding of spiritual warfare. That if you don't understand what I'm talking about today, you fail all the time whenever you go to spiritual warfare. That's why it's the foundation. The foundational knowledge you have to have. How do we find the enemy behind what we are fighting? How do we know the enemy? It's foundational knowledge in the school of warfare. So, why do we do that? Number one, the reason why knowing the enemy or profiling before spiritual attacks, before we unleash our spiritual violence to take things by force, the reason why it is very foundational is because the main mission of this kingdom we belong to is to rescue human beings who are captives. In the account of Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, when he appeared before Caesar, he told them that when God called me, he said, I have sent you unto what? The Gentiles, that you will rescue them from what? The kingdom of what? Darkness. Are you with me? So the mission of the kingdom we belong to is that we are to what? Rescue people from what? Darkness. So it's a rescue kingdom oriented what? Project. Therefore, human beings, if our job is what? Rescue them. Are you following me? Human beings are objects of what? Redemption, not object of destruction. Do you get it? The reason why you have to understand this foundational knowledge is because the place you belong to, the kingdom you have signed up to, the main mission is what? Rescue people. It is not to destroy them. Therefore, whenever you see human being, your orientation is about rescue, not destruction. Let me give you a typical demonstration here. Our first reading. Is it one of the ways to profile your enemies to know those? Is in military. I don't know why I've come to love watching all these series and everything, but now I understand it a lot. In even the fierce combat of shooting, you must, by a split of a second, judge whether the person you are about to shoot is a person to be rescued or a person to be what? Killed. Especially when you are going for, when people are kidnapped and you are going to rescue the kidnappers. Do you know that sometimes they can dress the people they have kidnapped and give them guns as if they are the ones you are fighting? And do you know that if you are sent on that rescue mission and you kill the person, they'll do what we call court martial, right? They'll probe and they found out that you were not able, by your intelligence, differentiate between the one you're supposed to rescue and the one you're supposed to kill. You go to prison. So you see, you have to respect military men. Eh? You have to respect Mr. Ganiba. What they go through? Because at the heat of bullets flying around, you want to hear one sound of a gun? How do you feel? You run away to. At that heat, it is their job to differentiate that this person is a person who's supposed to be rescued or a person who's supposed to be killed. Now let's look at something in this scenario. Let's go back to the Luke chapter 9, verse 61. Our second reading. Let me show you this. It's a foundational knowledge. So that in unleashing your violence, you don't kill the ones you're supposed to rescue. Let's read. And another Luke chapter 9, verse 51. Where are we? Now it came to pass when the time had come for him to receive up, that he steadfast set his face to God. Let's go down. But they did not what? Receive him. Because his face was set towards the journey of what? Jerusalem. Let's continue. Now let's look at the disciples. The disciples said, Lord, we are passing through a city. And do you know one thing about Jesus passing through a city? Check the account of Jesus. Anytime he passed through a place, as it's a song, everywhere he went, he was doing good. Almighty healer, he healed the lepers. When the cripples, help me sing it. He started war. Everywhere he went, my Lord was. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Almighty healer, he healed the lame. When cripples saw him, they started walking. Everywhere he went, my Lord was doing good. So Jesus was walking through a city where, by scriptures, it's established that wherever he went, he was what? Doing good. So when James and John saw that, somebody will come to pass to your city and some of your people will be blessed, people will be healed, salvation, everything will happen to you, you are the ones blocking him. You people are the reason why the gospel is not coming here. Jesus, it has happened before in the Bible. Why don't we just do the same thing here? Is it some, for your information, it just be some few people who are blocking Jesus. Do you know that most of the times it's the few who cause problems for the many? Haven't you been in class that you were quiet, you were not talking, and two people were making noise? A teacher walked and said, everybody sleep. Gen Z generation, you don't know what I'm talking about, right? You can ask Prophet Jericho, he'll tell you their generation, how this means. You can be minding your business, reading your book. There's some two idiots behind you who will be making noise, disturbing the class. The teacher enters. Instead of him to face out those who make the noise, you said, everybody what? Sleep. And then you hear it at your back. Fear, fear. So I'm sure that it's just some few guys and people who have found out that Jesus is a Jew. And the Samaritans and the Jews, they don't have face to face. So they blocked him. And the Jewish people said, let's show them the violence we have. Because the Bible says, since the death of John the Baptist, they haven't suffered and the violence take by force. Let's take the city by force. Let's break through. Lord, let's command fire. Let's read the next verse. What did he say do? What did he do? Next verse. But he turned and what? Rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of what? Spirit you are out. You have. The next verse. Then he told them the mission. Where fire must die by fire, those who it goes to. What did he say? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life. Do you hear it? But to save what? Them. So the mission of the kingdom is never about what? Destroying people's life. The mission is to what? Save people's life. Even though in the face of resistance, in the face of attacks. Therefore, from this theory, it is completely out of order and wrong to target human beings to destroy them, irrespective of what they may have done or are doing to you. Those of you who wake up at night and draw sword and mention your grandma's name, mention your auntie's name, mention people you think that they are the reason why you are not moving forward, and say, Lord, kill them. You are out of order. That's wrong profile. Jesus knew where the resistance was coming from. He knew that these people are not the reason. They are not the people I'm coming after. Are you with me? Do you get it? It was the same act of profiling that when Peter drew his sword and cut off the ears of the guard of the priest, Jesus told him, put your sword back. Do you think that I could not have told my father that he should what? Send forth angels to my rescue. He knew what he was facing. He knew who he was fighting. And he wanted to go and meet the person face to face and deal with him. You are here. You think that your uncle that said you take you to school and said I'll not take care of you again is the person you have to pray against. Some of you are just there, prophet, and they hate people for no reason. You are fasting and praying to kill people. You are out of order. Yes, you though you are walking in the flesh, you are not warring against the flesh. Some of us, when we see certain physical situations happen in our life, then we draw a conclusion. Hey, you are praying. This sickness. No, no. Have you done proper profiling to know who is the what is the cause of that? Who is causing this? It is this very concept, okay, that Jesus, through the teachings of Apostle Paul, that Jesus said, through the teachings of Apostle Paul, established this principle that many of us don't like. Let's read Romans chapter 12. Me too, I don't like it. Don't look at me. But we don't have option. Romans chapter 12 verse 17. When you understand proper spiritual profiling and you know how to identify your enemy, you will not struggle with these scriptures. What you are coming to read right now. Now, can we go? What did he say? Repay no evil for what? You see, this may sound very light to you until it happens to you. I don't know if you got what I'm trying to say here. See, this may sound so light. What we are, you just read it. Repay no evil. Obia the wicked. Has somebody really played wicked on you before? That's the direct translation I'm giving you here. Imagine a father who has given birth to you has sworn that you, for me to spend my money on you to go to school, I'll take care of a goat, I'll buy a goat and raise it. And that your father has spent his money on women. Are you following me? Wasted his money and his life, wasted everything. Then you struggled all your life, staying with different kinds of family members, subjected to act of slavery, beaten, gone through all things, sack of school fees, disgraced, wearing torn clothes. And you have struggled, and by the grace of God. I said, by the what? Grace of God. You have been able to break through. And God has blessed you. Then one day, they called you. Your father is suffering from stroke. Can I hear the hay over there? Ah. You just imagine. It will be a wrong profiling by you to think that your father must be paid back with evil. You are out of order. You are out of order. You can frown like whatever. We are all in this together. We are all in this together. Repay no evil for evil, because we are not warring against what? Flesh. The war you were fighting was not against what? Your father. There's something behind it. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Not some men, all men. Let's move on. I don't know, don't like this scripture, but we all read it together. Me too, I don't love it. But we have no option. Move on. We are going to verse to 21. Oh, let's move on. 18. If it is possible, listen. Oh, if it is possible, verse 18. Back to verse 18. The reason why you have to be taken through the school of warfare and you have to learn this foundational lesson of identifying your enemy, proper profiling your enemy, is because this scripture is telling you why. You don't target man. That's wrong profiling. If it is possible, as much as depend on you, live peaceably with all men. This include the one who has been provoking you. You know, some of you are here, you have not offended somebody, but the person has decided that as long as he or she is alive, she'll make sure that he'll sell bad news about you. We call that what? Character assassination, right? How do we call it in law? The ones we take to court, how do we call it? Defamation, right? Somebody can sit down, cook a story beyond all imagination. Cook a story beyond all things you can think. For instance, you can be here and you hear that somebody said, Prophet Jericho has stolen 2 million Ghana cedis from Ghana government. It is what he has used to buy the car he's driving, done this and that and that. Or you hear that, oh, he has done this. And you know how media likes bad news. You see, there's a saying that the people who you told the bad news are not the same people you are going to tell them that it is not true. Recently, a lady decided to record a video of a man that, as a boat driver or an Uber driver, he uses his car to kidnap people, and that he almost kidnapped her sister. I don't know if you have ever heard that story. So, and the video went viral on TikTok. This man lost his job. Now, people started targeting him. Uber and everything rejected him. Until police investigated and found out that it was a lie. And that the person who told her the story didn't say so. She added her own story. But the damage he has done to that man. Then you come and sit here and the Bible said that live at peace with that person. And I God, now why? But do you know that by the principles of know your enemy, right profiling, that is not the enemy of the man. Oh. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I know you don't like it, but I have to tell you, that's the school of warfare. That's wrong profile. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. You don't know how sweet vengeance is. You have not done some before. You know, I've ever told you this story, right? Back then when we were under the cocoon, there was this guy called Ibrahim who used to bully me. The guy is so strong. He beat me well. And I was his target. I didn't do anything to this guy. The guy just doesn't like me. And it's just because of one reason. We were playing ball. And I did him dirty. Sulia. And they laughed at him. Because of that Sulia, prof, I have to pay for it with beatings. So this guy, when we close from school, under the cocoa, and you know that in the village, when there is fight, we don't separate until there's a loser. Oh, you don't know that rule? Oh, we don't separate the fight until there's a loser. So until one is crying, we don't separate the fight. This guy used to beat me. So I have to learn the tactics of revenge. So I got a catapult. Yes. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Everybody must know what they can use to fight. So I got this weapon of catapult. And I made my mind that the day you beat me again, I'll not say anything. I'll just take the lead and go ahead. Now, our house, where we go, we are going to descend a hill. Then you climb before you go home. We leave that community. So I will take the lead and be on top of the mountain. And wait for my master. So the next time he beat me like that, after crying, I went and waited for him. When he was coming, I targeted him. This side of the head. Pow! And he was just there, screaming and bleeding. The way I felt relieved and enjoyed that then. You see, I enjoyed seeing him also screaming like the way I used to scream when he beats me. This matter, it was our parents who have to sit and resolve it. So you remember, we have not tested revenge before. There's some sweetness in revenge. Then God will come and tell you that when you have had the opportunity to pay the person back, say, do not avenge yourselves. Sometimes God cries. Why? But rather give place what? Wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Now, what I even don't like is the next verse. Read. Therefore, me, if my enemy is hungry, feed him. Ah! Why should I feed him? When I know that when it is full, when he is full, he will come back and do that nonsense and come and fight me again. But that's all the profile is telling us. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire or not on his head. Let me move on. Why is this teaching the Bible? This teaching is in the Bible because the Son of Man didn't come to destroy. The Son of Man came to save lives. So you are out of order if you go after lives and you destroy them. You don't profile your enemies and target human beings. They are not the enemy you are dealing with. You are out of order.
Hallelujah.
Therefore, you have no right to destroy a soul for which Jesus came to die for. You have no right. You don't have the right to determine who deserves to be saved. You don't have the right to determine who deserves mercy. You don't have the right to deserve who deserves what, who determined to be what, or who deserves to be what, saved. Because, do you know why? You were once like them towards God. In Romans chapter 8 verse 5, it said, for we were sinners and we did evil in the sight of God. So the reason why God teaches us, you see, the violence, as I'm saying, the Bible says violence taken by force. There's some violence in us as believers. Believers are not calm. If you think I'm like, you go and ask witches and wizards, they'll tell you how violent believers are. That prayer you've been praying at night, do you know the kind of violence you have been releasing to those camps? That is why when a man of God, you curse somebody, if you use your anointing to curse people, if you use your anointing to put sickness on people, it will work. But let me tell you, God will ask for the blood from you, because that is not your enemy. There will be a spiritual court martial for you. You will pay dearly for it. So one of the reasons why we go through spiritual profiling is because we must not target those that need to be rescued and make them the victims of what, our violence, and destroy them. You must rather know the one who deserves what, the violence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Second, then we will close. The second reason why, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, is because the warfare we are involved, we must learn to separate the instrument used by our enemy from what? The one who mastermind what? The attack. Do you know that terrorists, especially the suicide bombers, they are not the ones who mastermind the attacks? Do you know that? If you take out a suicide bomber, you've done the cause zero work. You may have stopped an immediate attack, but you have not stopped the agenda. One of the reasons why God takes us through the school of warfare and foundationally we learn to what, profile our enemy, know the enemy, is because we must separate the mastermind behind what is going on from the instrument that is being used. And one of those instruments can be human beings. Let's read the scripture. If you look into the Bible, let's read the book of Matthew chapter 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Give me that scripture. Now, in our reading in Matthew chapter 13 verse 28, why he said an enemy has done this. Are you following me? The enemy that he was talking about was not a spiritual force. He was talking about a human being who came to sow the tares in the earth, in the field. If you look in scriptures, the Bible has acknowledged time over time that human beings can be used as an instrument of opposition, an instrument to afflict what, pain, and an instrument to cause destruction to your life. Time upon time. It was not the same Gentiles that Paul went to preach to that threw him off a wall and he fell and he was dead until the believers came to surround him. Was it the devil threw him? The same people he was sending the gospel to were the same people who gathered and not came after him. Have you forgotten that it was not the devil who threw Paul into prison and Silas? Who did it? It was the citizens. The same people they were preaching the gospel to were the same people who were they excited the violence among them, and they went after him. So the Bible has acknowledged over time that human beings can be an active participant of the things we suffer. If that your auntie didn't allow herself to be a witch, will she be doing you? I don't like my direct translation. If that your grandfather or uncle or whoever has not availed himself to become a fetish priest, would there be any family altar to resolve? Would there be any altar? No! So there is no way we can disconnect or take human participation. But they are not the mastermind. They are not what? The mastermind. So when a suicide bomber comes to blast a place, no matter how that person has done it, the anger does not go on that person. You rather need to find the one what? Who is the greatest terrorist that has ever disturbed America? What is his name? Osama bin Laden, right? Do you know that when the two airplanes crashed into the World Trade Center, he was not in those two planes? Was he in the two planes? He was not in it. So one of the, see, if the whole intelligence of US at that time was on the people who were in the flight who crashed it and they ended there, the harm that Osama would have done to them over the years, they couldn't have stand it. So one of the reasons why we learn spiritual profiling is to separate the mind, the mastermind, from what? The instruments used. Now, the mastermind, you can look at it that the Bible on many occasions could call human beings as enemies, right? The Bible even calls us the enemies against the gospel and everything. Is that not so? But there is one word that the Bible has never used to refer to human beings, and that word is adversary. Anytime you see that word adversary, you see that it is used with what? The devil. There's a difference between the adversary and the what? And an enemy. You know why? You can turn an enemy to a friend, but you can never make an adversary a friend. Oh, you don't know? Haven't you seen somebody you know you are not in good terms with? After some years, you became friends. Oh, hasn't it happened before? There are people who once hated you, didn't like you, because of what somebody said, because of something that happened. And then after some few years, when they came to the truth, are you listening to me? There is no way an adversary can ever be a friend. You can have what we call a truce with an adversary. Are you listening to me? But you can never be a friend. There is no way Israel and Iran can ever be what? Allies. No matter how, no matter what you try. They can have a truce, respect each other. Do you understand? But as far as we are talking about friendship, it can never happen. An enemy can become a friend, but an adversary can never be a friend. So anytime somebody tends to be an enemy, look for the adversary behind the enemy. So in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, he said, be sober, listen up, be vigilant. Look at the thing he said. Because your, did he say enemy? Your adversary. So you may see that certain things are happening. You may see the instruments at work, the instrument of execution at work. It will take vigilance to know that, oh, this person who is becoming an enemy is not the adversary I'm dealing with. The devil is the adversary. So you have to profile. Somebody can just get up and hate you in the office for no reason. Don't target the person. That's an instrument of oppression. Can you find out why the person hates you? For all you know, you find out that somebody went and mastermind a whole story and sent it to that place, all to frustrate your life. The devil can use human vessels to frustrate you. Hallelujah. Amen. So why do we need to separate? So the reason is that when we separate the instrument of what? Execution from the mastermind, then we are able to know how to unleash our violence. Why do we need to do that? Here is it. To avoid channeling our violence on the wrong target. You know, war is expensive. Now, you don't know. Yes. War is expensive. Spiritual war is also expensive. It will be an act of foolishness to fast 7 days, pray, only to pray against the instrument of what? Attack on you when you have left the what? Mastermind. Sorry. You see, I'm using modern day actions to show what happens. Recently, when Israel launched attack on Iran, did you see the people they were targeting? Are you following me? You saw the people they were targeting. They were looking for the masterminds, the brains behind the strength of Iran. Those that have made Iran what it is was the target. When they eliminate them, any instrument they or the people they are using to execute any action against them, because it is believed that it was the Iranians, according to the Israelites, who is supporting Hezbollah against them. So if Hezbollah, who is a border to them from Lebanon, will be firing against them, they are getting their support from the supposed place they believe. So they track the mastermind, make sure that they neutralize the mastermind behind it. Then when that is done, the instrument will have nothing to do. You know, the day that you pray for that altar to fall, your auntie will not fly again. When you set fire at the coven, when you cast that demon out of her, do you know you are done? That is why we pray that destruction will fall on the spirit behind, not the individuals. You don't channel your violence on the wrong target. This is called emotional intelligence in spiritual warfare. What does the devil do? He will use human beings to provoke you, and then you target them. Then he will withdraw and hide. Then you'll be fighting that human being. Then he will take comfort. But when you fall, you see, that person who has caused you pain, that person who has hurt you, when you look beyond it, there you will see the whole thing. Why am I preaching all this thing today? Many of the prolonged warfare in the lives of believers, many of the prolonged battles in our life, is because of wrong profiling. We have become people who rather target the instruments and forsake the mastermind. So we have killed innocent people. See, let me tell you, there are men of God who have come out publicly to admit that they have prayed certain prayers and certain people have died and they regret it. Yes. See, people can provoke you, they can speak words. Oh, I pray for you. You see, it is an emotional intelligence you have to gather. When somebody done something seriously against you, don't react at that instance. Don't lift up, I activate the tsunami of heaven. Oh, take your time. That person could just be an instrument of the mastermind. So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. You see, you can be targeting a sickness, trying to solve that sickness. You can be targeting a hardship in the family, trying to solve it. But the question, have you found out that your current situation, my question to you this very morning, your current situation that you are dealing with, have you found out what is masterminding that situation? The school of warfare is to teach you how to discover the real enemy behind what you are going through. And when you have discovered the real enemy, when you have discovered the one behind the scene, that agent, that spirit of fear, that demon that is behind whatever is happening, then you know that warfare is easy to win. I pray for you that you will not use the authority and power that God has given you on the wrong forces. We must know that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. Human beings and physical happenings around us are not our target when it comes to we unleashing the violence. Human beings all deserve to be saved. So irrespective of what the person is doing to you, your effort is that the gospel will go to the person, that the person will be saved. Let me say this story, then we close. I went to pray for a man, a very big man. And when I went to pray for the man, he's working on a project. He had several dreams. This thing I'm talking about, I even went with Pastor Collins, Elder Martin, and could know about what I'm talking about. He has had several dreams where he was threatened that he would be killed. Now, one person who is a claimed prophet came to him and mentioned three names of people who are behind what the dreams has been having, with evidences of the people those people have killed. Truth be told, those three people are fetish priests. One is the family head. One is a relative, I mean a sibling. And another one is from the mother's side, an auntie. They are all fetish priests. They are very strong. Very, very, very strong people. So, two people who tried what he was doing were eliminated. So, he is the next person who is trying it. He's the target. So, he spoke to me about it. And I said, okay. He said he has been praying against them. I said, no, sir. Leave them to be. They are not your. They are not the people to worry about. There's a different way we are going to deal with this situation. So you let's handle it well. And I sat and I took him through resolving spiritual conflict. And I showed him things he has to do. And then prayer, we have to pray. I told him, after this, you build this house, you finish this project, you will feel it, nothing will happen to you. Because the thing is that the moment he's done raising the foundation, they are going to kill him. As I'm talking to you, this project is done. He's living in it. It is nothing. In fact, he's now even blessed more. Now, the people who they said is going to come after him at the foundation of the building, one came and blessed him. Oh, that is a good thing he's doing. He blessed him physically. What do you know what it means? When they tried the mastermind, the spirit, the altar, the throne that was working upon to make sure those things are done, tried it and found out that this man is so secured. There is not any human factor that can eliminate you when you are able to deal with the forces behind them. I come from a place that Tupé is a simple expression of who is powerful there. When you go there, they have to try you. It is a normal thing to try you and see if you are strong. And I know people who can. But when they come, we greet them, we smile at them. Some of you, you have been told that this person is a witch. If you even see eye to eye, you are gone. And because of that, you cannot even do certain things. So the warfare has been prolonged in your life. That is wrong profiling. We walk in the flesh, but we don't walk against the flesh. We are dealing with the mastermind. Therefore, I want you to re-understand that the current situations of your life that you are going through, you are using the wrong profiling. Know your enemy. Your enemy is not a physical person. Know the adversary you are dealing with. It's not a physical person you are dealing with. And when you come to know the adversary, the strength will continue. When you come to know the devices of the adversary, the strength upon which it stands. I pray for you. And I want you to lift up your voice and pray right now. That Lord, give me visions and encounters. Give me visions and encounters. Expose to me the mastermind behind what I'm going through right now. See, the day that you discover the mastermind behind what you are going on, that is the day the war is won. When you find out that the barrenness you are going through is because an altar has been activated, that is why you see God gives you dreams. then you dream, then you see this thing. Prophets, you tell that some years ago, this person did that and that. It's because God is giving you a proper profiling. Even though human beings can be masterminds, can be the instrument that they are using to execute their wickedness, I am telling you that they are not a mastermind. So Paul said, "Know ye no man after the flesh anymore." You see, the person will come in flesh, but you need not to know the person by flesh. In this warfare, the foundational knowledge is proper profiling. Who is that demon behind the thing going on? Who is that demon behind that academic struggle? Who is that demon? What power is fighting you? Oh, say, "Lord, give me spiritual discernment, sensitivity." See, the Lord is training you. That's why you see that the more you pray, you are becoming highly sensitive. The spiritual systems of you are growing. It's because you need them for proper profiling. So that you don't come and limit your attack. I know families that are destroyed because somebody said that a mother is a witch. There are families that, marriages that has been crushed because somebody said. But actually the real enemy, the mastermind, has been there and is still enjoying. I said many prolonged battles in our life is because we wrong profiled the enemy behind it. But today, oh God, in dreams, in visions, in prophecies, in by the help of the Holy Spirit, may we be sent to know. May we descend to know. Oh, Kadobro Shadna Bakaya Baha. Monde Brasata Kaya. Ilebrando Sete Kayaha. Adum Pele Mako Shabrahaya. Sometimes we will be able to go through what we are going through because we know what is behind the scene. We know who is behind it. So Paul said that although you go through this affliction, don't worry because it's the devil resisting. Human vessels are just expressions of it. Mandom no shende braka basaya. Lende brendo moko sete kele brasaya. You see, God is giving some of you right now an encounter. The spirit dimension of you is changing. You have to win that war. We can no longer prolong that war. The warfare must end now, must end now. The enemy behind the scene must be known. Knowing your enemy is the number one strategy. I said I want us to pray today. See, the troubles you are going through must end. As long as we do proper profiling, that sickness, a woman was bound 18 years by Satan, but people didn't know that it was Satan behind it. They saw it as a normal infirmity. Today there must be a proper profiling. There must be a proper profiling. Shabra Kadosaya. The enemy behind our financial struggle. The enemy behind the sickness. The reason why you cannot marry. Could there be a mastermind behind it? Ayandeke Palua. Let it be exposed. Let it be exposed. The sudden death that happened. The sudden death that happened. Could there be a mastermind behind it? Mado. No, we walk in the flesh. We do not walk against the flesh. Ashana kabrande. In them no more set the kaya. Ayo. Ayo. It was never a mistake that all the time David will consult the Lord. He will make an inquiry of the Lord before he goes to war. He wanted to be sure of the mastermind behind the warfare. Lift up your voice and say, "Lord, let there be a switch in my warfare. Let the mastermind be revealed. My current struggle. I'm telling you, this life, we will always have battles to face. This life, there is war continuously. But our victory comes from we knowing the enemy behind it. We must be able to know the enemy. We must be able to know the adversary. The mastermind. The mastermind. I am Mako. I am Makoa. I am Makoa. I am Mapalasaya. I am Palababaya. I shall neck I am a bear. I am the Pelepe. I am Peluataya. I am the Messiah. I am the Baha. I am Papa. I am Papa. I am Mapaya. I am Mapaya. Lift up your voice. I am no call. I am Ababa. I am Taya. I am the bell. I am the bell. I am Ababa. I am the Kababoa. I am the bell. Somebody pray. Pray. Let that enemy be revealed. Lift up your voice in prayer. I am Lobo Bobo Shayaka. I am the Babo. I am the Babo. I am the Yes, 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 yes. The struggles of your academic breakthrough. I said there's an enemy. I said there's an enemy. There's an enemy behind it. Oh, I said an enemy has done this. We must find out. Lift up your voice. See, today, let me tell you, life is war. There will always be battles that we are going to fight. But the reason that we will struggle in prevailing is that we could be doing wrong profiling. Some of us have been praying against the wrong source. We have been praying against many things that does not have anything to contribute. But today we want to pray. And David make inquiry of the Lord. We want to pray that, oh Lord, this very morning we came to make an inquiry. What is the reason behind me not being able to marry? What is the reason behind me struggling too academically? What is the reason behind my financial struggles? What is the reason behind that sickness and attacks? What is the reason behind my barrenness? Oh, this morning, Lord, let the secret be revealed. Let the wickedness be exposed. The Bible said, and Daniel prayed for 21 days until the angel came and told him that the prince of Persia blocked it. Can we lift up our voice? I want to pray. Lord, show me the power behind it. Give me that profiling, a strategic advantage in warfare. This is spiritual intelligence 101. Spiritual intelligence 101. Spiritual intelligence 101. Right profiling of our enemy. We do not war against the flesh. We have to stop targeting human forces. I am Naba Babosaya. I am Branda Babosaya. Ramama Makora Basaya. Adarama Makapapaya. Lift up your voice and pray. Adora Basaya. Spiritual intelligence 101. Spiritual intelligence 1 1 1 1 0 1 0 1. I am Baladienta. Enemy behind the scene exposed. Ianda Palabaya. Ianda Palabosha. Ianda Pele. Ianda Pele. Yeah, Behind your financial struggle is exposed. That adversary behind the attacks that are coming on your life, I said, is exposed. It's hiding, like it's hiding using human faces to confuse you. Oh, I said that the adversary is exposed. You will prevail in your warfare. You see, David won every single war he faced and battles. I said we are at war and we are going to win our wars, because the mastermind behind the things we are fighting, he said, the heaven suffered violence and the violent taken it by force. We are unleashing violence at the mastermind, that force power, that altar that has held back. In fact, everywhere, every place we are going, they must come after us through man vessels. But this morning, the Lord is activating your Isis. I see spiritual Isis being activated. Encounters will start happening. Dreams, encounters. And you see that God will begin to show you things. This season, oh, every battle that we have has gone beyond the normal range. It will be brought to an end. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Just breathe your name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Oh.